بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم، صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, last week we had discussed the rights that our children have over us and the adab, etiquettes pertaining to the upbringing and the nurturing of children. And before we move on to the next chapter, one last aspect pertaining to our children, one right that our children have over us, which is commonly overlooked, is with regard to money matters, possessions, belongings of our children. The fuqaha and jurists are very clear that in sharia, ownership of items is very clearly defined. What belongs to the father, belongs to the father. What belongs to the mother, belongs to the mother. Likewise, what belongs to the child, belongs to the child. As an example, a person has minor children, and on the occasion of Eid, perhaps somebody gives that child some money. It may be in the form of cash, it may be in the form of some item of value. So these items or this money that has been given in the name of the child, fuqaha say, belongs to the child. It does not belong to the mother, the father, to the parents. And it is in fact the duty, the obligation of the father in particular, that he should now protect and look after this wealth for the child. When the child now comes of age and is mature enough to make the right decisions, then that money or that wealth should now be handed over to the child, and the child can now use it as he deems fit. Yes, of course, there's no time to go into the masail pertaining to it. At times, fuqaha have given permission. If a person is in a dire state, he is struggling to make ends meet, and there are some requirements that he has for his child, food, clothing, that he needs to purchase, then within reason, the father is allowed to use the wealth of the child for the child's benefit. But under no circumstances is a person ever allowed to use these possessions or this wealth for himself or herself. The father, the mother, the father, the mother should never use the wealth or the possessions of the child for themselves, for their own benefit. Now, if we have perhaps done this in the past, and it now may be very difficult to go back and calculate what was given to the child, and now I used it. In fact, to this extent, ulama explained, something was given to one child, it is not correct for the parents to use it for the next child also. When one child now outgrows that item, some article of clothing, or some toy, or something like this, then it is not even permissible to now use it for the next child. It belongs to the first child. Now, if we may have done this in the past, and there is no real way of atoning for it, at the very least, ask for forgiveness from our children. Inshallah, the child will be big-hearted enough to forgive the parents, but this is something we should be conscious of moving forward. Nevertheless, the next chapter that is now discussed is again a very important aspect of our lives, and this is those adab and etiquettes pertaining to the neighbor. In Islam, we find this is a very highly emphasized aspect of our lives, the rights of the neighbor. In the verse that we recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first instructs us to worship Him, wa'budu Allah. And then Allah says, do not ascribe any partners to me. Do not make shirk. And thereafter Allah mentions a few recipients, or a few people who should be recipients of our kindness, of our good character. So Allah commences with parents, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. Thereafter relatives, وَالْيَتَامَى, the orphans, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, the destitute. And then Allah mentions two categories of neighbors. Every other recipient was mentioned once. Parents, orphans, the poor, the destitute. But when it comes to neighbors, Allah mentions two categories of neighbors. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. The close neighbor and the distant neighbor. And what is mentioned by this, ulama explain, one of two meanings. The close neighbor could either refer to the immediate neighbor, one who shares a boundary with you, and the distant neighbor is somebody who is perhaps a few doors down. Or the close neighbor refers to that neighbor who is also your relative, also a family member of yours. And the distant neighbor, that neighbor who does not share any family link with you. But nevertheless, the neighbor enjoys a great amount of rights in sharia. In the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come to me and he would instruct me so much regarding the rights of the neighbor that I began to feel that it is just a matter of time and the Nabi of Allah will come and tell me that now make the neighbor one of your heirs also. Grant him a share in your mirath, in your inheritance. We know inheritance is very restricted. At times a person's own brother and sister will not inherit. Generally just the children, the spouse. But to this extent, as though Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, of course this is not the ruling, but as though Jibreel would come down at any moment and inform me that now make your neighbor also from amongst your heirs. So we can understand the importance of this. So nevertheless, the first point that is mentioned, and this is something we had spoken about in the beginning of the series, that good character, social etiquette, is founded on the principle of not giving takleef or inconvenience to anyone. So he mentions three examples where generally a neighbor is prone to giving takleef, causing inconvenience to his neighbor. And these three examples that we'll go through, inshallah, for us to be cognizant of this, of course it happens, my dear brothers. We are living together, living in proximity to one another, interacting with one another. It happens that now unintentionally, unwillingly, unknowingly, we may at times cause inconvenience to the neighbor. But we should make sure that at least this is not done intentionally. Or that we adopt a don't care attitude. It's my property, my house, I paid for it, I'm the owner, and therefore I will do as I please. So the first example that is mentioned is with regard to hosting any functions. Person hosts a function at home, a dawat, a meal for the family, friends. So ensure that no aspect of this function causes takleef to the neighbor. At times it can be parking also. Now we may not block his driveway, but we're parking so close to it, or directly opposite that the neighbor can't get his vehicle into his driveway, or he can't come out of his driveway. Sometimes the noise levels, we are now enjoying a night, and it goes into the late hours of the night, there's good company, and there's tea, there's baking, and there's light-hearted conversation without realizing that the neighbor may be wanting to sleep. It may be late for him, he has work the next morning, or perhaps he has young children who are not well, they need to get to bed. So we should not cause any takleef when it comes to hosting any functions within our homes. And just one incident comes to mind. A few months back, I had met a Hindu person in our community who is one of the neighbors of the masjid. And he happened to mention an incident to me that many, many years ago, when he had renovated his home, and he did some renovations to the external portion of his home as well, some landscaping outside of his boundary wall, and some whatever he had done there, there were plants and trees that were put up. And he says it was one of the big nights, the masjid was very full, cars were going down past all the homes. And as the night went on, he says he hears a knock on the door. And when he opens, he finds Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi standing in front of his door. And Maulana mentions to him that, "I just came to inform you that one of the attendees of the masjid of the program, perhaps somebody who has come for the first time, despite us making these announcements, but this person perhaps was unaware of the protocol, and the way he parked, he caused some damage to your lawn. So one of the leaves or one of the trees, something had been damaged, and I just came to inform you that I will stand here myself and wait for him to come out, and I will ensure that he reimburses you for this." So this Hindu neighbor mentioned to me, he says, "I felt so ashamed that I told Maulana that, you know what, don't worry about it. You know, it's nothing to worry about, I'll get it sorted out." But he insisted that this is your right and you must have spent some money on this, and therefore I will make sure that this person reimburses you. If I go away, perhaps he may argue with you, he may deny that any wrongdoing on his part, but I will ensure that he makes this right. So we can understand the care and the concern that was given this person, a Hindu person. Now, years and years later, he still recalls fondly that incident. And he now speaks highly of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali. Allah fill his qabr with noor, and grant us that realization and understanding also, that type of akhlaq, that we also think of these things. So that is the first example. The second example, we should not play the radio, or even when it comes to the recital of Quran so loudly, that will inconvenience the neighbors. This also we may think within our homes, sometimes the windows are open, we may be listening to Quran Sharif, but as we mentioned, somebody may be wanting to sleep, etc. So this also should not be done. And the third example, when a person is doing some maintenance work, he wants to knock a nail in, or perhaps he wants to mow the lawn, or some other handiwork that needs to be done around the home. Sometimes Sunday morning is the only time a person is home. He doesn't have any other time in the week. But we should be cognizant of the fact that neighbors may be asleep. It's still early hours of the morning. This also should not be a cause of taklif for our neighbors. Thereafter, the next point that is mentioned is with regard to visiting the neighbor. Many a times, a person now goes to his neighbor's home, perhaps to take something over, or the neighbor was unwell, he goes to visit him. So here we should be very careful that the duration of our stay does not exceed the limit. We are there to fulfill some purpose, to inquire of his well-being, or to hand over some parcel, or whatever it may be, to share some food item, etc. And we inquire about his well-being, and thereafter we leave. We should not overstay our welcome. Many a times it happens, especially people living in complexes or in a block of flats. Now I have come home early from work, I already have refreshed myself, had something to eat. The neighbor has just come in. But because I'm at home, I may feel that he also has time. And now we end up chatting to that person, speaking to the person, not realizing that he may need to get some work done, or somebody is waiting for him, or perhaps he needs to relieve himself. And out of his kindness, he may not want to say anything. So this also, the duration that we take that person's time also should not exceed the limits. Thereafter, he mentions that generally when a person lives in close proximity to somebody, then he becomes aware of certain private matters of the neighbor. Sometimes negative, sometimes positive. This is inevitable. A person sees the comings and goings, who's coming home, who came to visit. Perhaps he overhears something that had taken place in the neighbor's home, and he comes to know of certain matters which are private matters. So under no circumstances should a person expose these matters to others. Whether it is something negative, he heard that now the neighbor's daughter is getting divorced, perhaps he heard the conversations taking place, or he saw the cars coming, he saw the meetings taking place, and now he wants to spread this to others, that do you know what happened? So-and-so's daughter. Oh, I heard about this before everybody else. So this is a private matter. If we did come to know of it, not through spying or eavesdropping, but it just happened that we came to know of these matters, we should make sure we conceal this. And even if it is something positive, a person hears, overhears, my neighbor is going on a holiday, he's going for Umrah, or that the neighbor, his wife is expecting. This also, as long as that person has not made the news public, we should not expose this or disclose it to others. This is the right. In fact, ulama explained, very important point, my dear brothers, when it comes to the default setting of every gathering is a gathering of amanat and secrecy. Ulama explained to this extent, a person leaves the masjid and he goes to his car and somebody comes to speak to him and mentions something to him. And there's no mention that this is a secret. By default, it is taken to be a private matter. And it is not permissible to divulge this to anybody else. Unless we have explicit permission or authorization that you may tell this to others. Or it is known that this is not something private, he's speaking about it, he doesn't mind others knowing, then we are allowed to disclose it. But otherwise, if permission has not been granted, by default every conversation is a private one. And we should therefore hold this close to ourselves. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, Al-majalisu bil-amana, every gathering, every conversation is one that should be kept in trust. So likewise, when it comes to our neighbors' aspects regarding them, that we keep these things private. It is not correct to stare into the neighbor's yard, especially where there is an apprehension of some of the women folk appearing. Many a times, a person is driving past, the garage door is open. Now, I've never seen the inside of his house before, so I want to look inside. I've always wondered what's the layout of his property. This is again a private matter. He happened to be entering, his gate was open, door was open. I won't like it if somebody looks into my home, into my property. So in the same way, we should not look into the yard of the neighbor, into the property of the neighbor. Especially when there's women folk, now they are within their boundary walls, their private property. They may not be concealed or covered correctly. So we should ensure that we protect our gaze in this regard. And finally, the last point that is mentioned regarding the neighbor. When a neighbor is in need of basic necessities, then ensure that we give it to them, assist them. A hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. That person is not a believer. الَّذِي يَشْبَعُ, who is satiated, he has enough food to eat and drink. وَجَارُهُ جَائِعٌ عِنْدَ جَنْبِهِ. And his neighbor is hungry. That person does not have iman. So when a person Allah has blessed us with wealth or with possessions, always ensure we keep an eye on the condition, the situation of our neighbor. He may be in need, perhaps he's going through some difficulty, things are tight for him. Where we can assist in such a way that we do not make the person feel small. We do not make it known to him, I'm helping you. Or make him feel that he's taking from us. But do it in such a way that he doesn't even realize also. And he doesn't feel obliged to give something back. Incident is mentioned of that mother who wanted to teach her children. So one day she says to her daughter that please go to the neighbor and ask them for some salt. So the daughter goes and comes back and then she says, I want to ask that we have salt at home. And why did you send me to ask the neighbor for some salt? So the mother explains the wisdom. She says that see, our neighbors are not as well off as us. And it is possible that they may want to ask us for something, but they may feel hard to initiate. This way, by me asking them first, for something small which I knew they'll have some salt, it's something that doesn't cost much, I broke the ice, and I basically now made them feel as though I owe them something. So this way, if they have any requirement, any need, they won't feel hard to come and ask from us. So to this extent, the thought that went into it, that we should not make the person feel bad. And finally, when it comes to cooperation with our neighbors, many a times we find when it comes to building, construction, when it comes to doing something on our property, there are two extremes. At times a person feels it's mine, I bought it, I paid for it, I own, hold the title deeds, so I can do as I please. And I do not need the consent, the permission, or at least the du'as of my neighbor. This is not correct. We should consult with the neighbor at least, or at the very least inform him that some work is going to be taking place, and we apologize if there's any inconvenience, we apologize in advance. There may be dust, there may be sand, there may be vehicles coming in and out, etc. At the very least, the neighbor understands what's happening, and he doesn't become worried, so many people are coming and going. So we should not adopt that extreme, where we feel as though I can do as I please. At the same time, if we are on the receiving end, and my neighbor has to come and request of me, that I want to do something on my property, then we should not unnecessarily object to this. For no reason, just to be difficult, that no, you can't do it, you must take permission, or I object to this, I don't authorize this. As far as possible, be easy, be lenient. If it's not going to affect us, or affect our rights, then give in to it. Allah will give us something in return. So there has to be a give and take when it comes to situations like this. Like any relationship between two spouses, between parents and children, between co-workers, and here between neighbors also, there has to be a give and take. I will at times compromise on my rights, at times he will compromise on his rights. So these are the basic rights of the neighbor that a person should be cognizant of. As we mentioned before, at times it happens. Without realizing, we may be causing some takleef. At the very least, we should not be doing this intentionally. Or at least think before we do things that I should not cause any takleef, any difficulty. Sometimes it happens, there's young children especially. And this we should teach our children also, that the neighbor's property belongs to the neighbor. It is not permissible for a person to just scale the boundary wall and now go over into the neighbor's house because there's easy access. Perhaps the ball went over or something of that sort. Now he just jumps over like that. This is not permissible at all. Unless there is that informal relationship, the neighbor understands and he has given permission, authorization in the past. But otherwise, it is not permissible to do this. So we should teach, educate our children also, that this is private property, and we do not have the permission to trespass. This is regarded as trespassing. And it is well within the right of the neighbor to become upset, and to discipline or reprimand the child if he does this. So when it comes to the children, when it comes to ourselves also, that we hold this dear, and understand the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to our neighbor. Also, we mention sometimes to the students in madrasa, one is our actual neighbors, those who live on the same street as us. Likewise, we can also include figuratively those who are our co-workers. His desk is neighboring my desk. In madrasa, we have the student who sits next to me. He's also my neighbor in class. So perhaps these ahadith don't apply directly to these people, but we can also implement the same principles. I should not cause difficulty. I should not use their items without permission. I should not harm the person in any way. When it comes to my co-workers also, when it comes to my appearance, when it comes to my cleanliness, my hygiene, borrowing items without taking permission, etc. Understand, these are also people who have rights over me because of the close proximity that we share. The last point that we'll mention is, who is a neighbor? In Sharia, what constitutes a neighbor? This word, jar, which is the Arabic word for neighbor, which we find in the Ahadith and in the Quran Sharif as well. So in Sharia, who is a neighbor? So there are different views amongst the jurists, amongst the fuqaha. Some have spoken about the immediate neighbor, that person who shares a boundary wall. In other words, on all three sides, to the right-hand side, the left-hand side, and if there is somebody sharing your rear wall as well. Generally, the front will be the road. But on all three sides, that person who shares a boundary wall, that is your neighbor. So that is one view. And of course, that neighbor will enjoy a very strong level of rights. But together with this, other fuqaha have left it very broad. In fact, one of the views of one of the students of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, is that all of those people within one locality, and all of those who attend the same masjid, are all your neighbors. So we can imagine in our area, my dear brothers, Asheville, all of those who come to this masjid will be regarded as our neighbors according to this view. Which means all of them hold these rights over us. Perhaps not to the extent that the direct neighbor will be, but they still have some level of rights over us. So we should understand this here, that we try our best not to cause taklif, not to cause difficulty. If this has happened in the past, we make maaf, we ask for maaf, and we overlook the faults of our neighbors. We'll end with this malfuz of Muayyim Patel Sahab, rahmatullah alayh, which he would always mention, although particularly he would be addressing husband and wife. But we can apply it to this as well. Hazrat would say, rahmatullah alayh, don't go by the book of my rights. Don't go by the book of my rights, that he must fulfill my rights. Rather, ensure I fulfill his rights. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask, did I fulfill my obligations, my responsibilities, the rights that others had over me? Not did they fulfill my rights. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.